Japan wants to ensure its place on the world stage in a Trump administration. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe will visit Pearl Harbor with President Obama tomorrow. The visit to the World War II memorial there has important symbolic value, but it also marks Abe's latest attempt to solidify Japan's role as an important trade partner with the United States. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
The U.S. is Japan's second largest trading partner. Trade between the two nations totals almost $200 billion. Abe needs to avoid offending Americans when he talks at Pearl Harbor, but Jonathan Pollack, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, says Americans and even his own voters aren't his only audience.
He may have to worry more about reactions in the neighborhood.
And that neighborhood is in flux. Abe strongly supported the struggling Trans-Pacific Partnership, a regional trade pact pushed by President Obama. Now he's pivoted to President-elect Trump, who opposes the TPP. He was the first foreign leader to meet with Trump just days after his victory. He's keen to present Japan as America's most reliable partner in the region. Sheila Smith is a Japan fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations.
They sense a little bit of pressure from China in trying to take away the attention the best future economic partner of the United States.
And for Abe, in these uncertain times, strengthening ties with the United States is certainly a good strategy. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. Many Asian markets are closed today, but Japan's was open. The Nikkei closed down this morning about 31 points, almost 0.2%. The Shanghai Composite Index closed up more than 12 points, about 0.4%. U.S. and European markets are closed for the holiday, but most of them closed up on Friday. There are more construction jobs happening in parts of the country. In North Texas, where there's a building boom, there's also a boost in the number of college students seeking construction management degrees. Bill Zeeble with KERA in Dallas reports on a two-year community college program that basically guarantees a job for every graduate.
In Dallas's pricey Preston Hollow neighborhood, Jesse Johnson oversees a house going up. A student in construction management at Northlake College, he's already using lessons from class.
I've learned there's formulas and sciences to scheduling this and doing the math of timelines. What used to take us a year to build or so, we just finished a house in this area in about 7.5-8 months.
Johnson's so busy, it seems when he's not in class, he's on a job site. Sequel Home Builders hired him as an assistant superintendent for about $30,000 a year and is paying his school tab. When the company superintendent left, Johnson got promoted. At Northlake College, where class just ended, Johnson says if he completes 6 homes a year, he'd triple his salary.
Most of our superintendents make about $15,000 per house and can do anywhere from 5 houses to 8 houses in a year.
Many in the class's 3 packed construction management classes are enrolled to better their incomes. The college's department dean, Mike Cooley, says their chances are good.
The demand outstretches the supply tremendously.
After 40 years in construction, Cooley retired and came to Northlake. Now, he kind of oversees students.
They're already working on an hourly basis, and once they graduate, I have 100% placement.
Christy Graff, a single mom and licensed plumber, is a building services coordinator at UT Southwestern Medical Center. Earning just under $50,000 a year, she could make $75,000 with a two-year degree her employer says she needs.
I do have 3 kids at home right now, and they're mainly teenagers. It gets a little stressful, but, you know, I explain to them, Mama needs to do this so I can do better for us. Everything I do is for my kids.
Graff wants to move up, but it'll take her more than 2 years for the degree because, like most of her classmates, she's busy working days. In Dallas, I'm Bill Zeeble for Marketplace.
Marketplace is a nonprofit service supported by you, the people we serve each and every day with news about money, jobs, innovation in all of their forms. I'm here to ask if you could make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. If you could donate at marketplace.org by December 31st.
Now that the holiday shopping season is finally drawing to a close, retailers are bracing for a wave of returns. While many customers just want to bring back gifts they don't want, stores have to be extra cautious this time of year. As Marketplace's Rima Krace reports, that's because retailers will likely be stuck with millions of dollars in fraudulent returns.
Last holiday season, return fraud was a $2 billion problem. That's according to Bob Morocco with the National Retail Federation.
Return fraud in general during the holidays rises from about 2% of sales to about 3.5% of sales.
So what are these return scams? Well, some people make up fake invoices and inflate the prices. There is something called wardrobing. Buy a fancy dress, wear it to a party, and return it. And there are shoplifters who steal, then bring things back.
They really want to convert it to cash because that's what the criminal is after.
Morocco says more than 90% of stores experienced those losses last year, and the cost likely to be passed on to the consumer. Retail expert Brett Beamer heads up America's research group. He says of the independent stores that closed last year, 11% say it's related to theft or fraud.
They don't have the capital that big companies have. Also, don't have the security systems that big companies may have.
Beamer says during this time, some retailers tighten their return policies, but it can be a tricky game. You don't want to tighten them so much that you turn off loyal customers. I'm Rima Krace for Marketplace.
And President-elect Donald Trump announced over the weekend he plans to dissolve his charitable foundation. The organization had been widely criticized for how it spent its donations and for potential conflicts of interest once Mr. Trump is inaugurated. But the New York Attorney General's office is currently investigating the charity, and a spokesman for the AG's office responded to Mr. Trump's announcement also over the weekend, saying the Trump Foundation can't be dissolved until that investigation is complete. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From American Public Media, APM.